Hello folks, I'm joined by, well, guess who, Nigel Farage. Nigel, you've just come back from what was an extraordinary thing that happened in Brussels, wasn't it? I mean, when you look at it now, do you think that it was a real high watermark in terms of free speech, what happened?
Big moment, my first day back for 4 years.
Yeah.
My first day back since we left the European Union. And it's interesting because in my last couple of years there, restaurants wouldn't serve me,
yeah.
Coffee bars wouldn't serve me,
yeah.
Even my favourite pub, I mean this was very serious, yeah. Said we can't serve you anymore. So I know what cancel culture is, I know the level of intolerance that there is within that place, within that city. If you don't agree with ever closer union, you know, you're mad, bad and dangerous and should be banned or, you know, put in a mental asylum or whatever it is. And I've never really shared those stories in the past because I didn't think anybody would believe me.
Mm-hmm.
But look at what happened. A venue booked some months ago, cancelled 48 hours ago. A second venue booked, cancelled on the same day. Pressure coming from mayors, pressure coming locally in Brussels. A third venue booked, owned by a Tunisian entrepreneur, and the pressure they put him under to close the conference was incredible. Do you know, they towed his car away.
Really?
Yep, they towed his car away. They stopped the caterers from delivering food, drink, crockery, cutlery into the building to get ready for the conference. His wife was threatened on the phone and online. I mean, what this bloke went through was unbelievable. And I met him this morning. He says himself, he doesn't necessarily subscribe particularly to conservative thinking, but he absolutely believes in free speech. And he has held firm. And the conference went ahead. It was quite funny, really, because I was on the stage when three cops come in and they're carrying the closure notice from the local commune mayor. But I think they saw me on the platform. They saw the banks of cameras. Mm-hmm. There were only three of them and a huge audience and thought better of it. Overnight, this went to the highest court in Belgium, who ruled that the conference had to go ahead today, which it did, starring Viktor Orban. And Viktor said something interesting. He said, I've lived under communism. He said, we formed Fidesz, his political party, in 1988. He said, we used to have venues cancel on us. He said, what you saw here yesterday begins to reflect there are shades of old Soviet communism that we see in the EU and forms of globalism. So look, it's been a huge victory.
Yes.
A huge, but I also think this may well be a bit of a watershed. You see, no longer, in the past, we talk about cancel culture. The left say it doesn't exist. It's a figment of your imagination. I love the New York Times headline today. It's brilliant. It says conference to talk about cancel culture gets cancelled. You know, so no longer can it be denied. And I think in future it's going to be much harder to cancel events.
What do you think what do you think of the reaction that there was here domestically? I mean, I'm thinking of Labour. They appear to be out of step with most people on this.
First point to make is it really went global. I'm doing Fox News later on tonight, prime time show. I mentioned New York Times already. We had Giorgia Meloni, the PM of Italy, commenting. We had the Prime Minister of Belgium commenting. Rishi Sunak, not brave enough to comment himself, obviously, but did get a number 10 spokesman to say that it was wrong. So a big reaction to this. Because it was filmed, it was shown live on television, there was no denying the sinister nature of what was going on. And I'm very surprised that Wes Streeting, who, you know, we think of as being one of the brighter young things in the Labour Party and going to play a very prominent role in the next Labour government, and yet he seemed to support those that wanted to ban the event. And it does, I have to say, Peter, make me worry. You know, what is this next Labour government going to be like?
Exactly. They seem to be kind of very trivial in their response, you know, on the front bench, kind of giggling and laughing about it. The other point, really, Nigel, is the main one here, is there is this idea that somehow conservative thought and expressions of conservative views are generally being constrained gradually. And you know, people say, oh, you know, in a few years' time, you won't even be able to say anything even, you know, broadly conservative. Do you think that this is just another example of it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, particularly here, 14 years of conservative government, and the centre of gravity of all debate has moved to the left markedly.
Yeah.
Markedly. You know, things particularly on social issues, mm-hmm. on the issues of how you feel about abortion, mm. how you may feel about gay marriage, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, people who hold legitimate views are, you know, quite in danger of committing hate speech, particularly in Scotland these days.
Yeah.
So we've been fighting a losing battle. I just think that yesterday is going to mark something of a turning point.
That's right. That's the silver lining here, isn't it? The fact that it was done in the whole view of the whole world.
Silver lining, Peter, is I was on the stage when the cops came in. I said to the audience, the police are coming in. I said, they're going to have to drag me off this stage. I was sort of daring them, really. No, their stupidity,
yeah,
their meanness, their narrowness of thought, their complete lack of comprehension about what liberal democracy is in its most fundamental form, has at last played to our advantage.
Finally, I mean, I think that these sorts of issues, they've got to play in the next general election, have they not, Nigel? I mean, free speech, I think there was a poll recently, 70% of people now feel that they can't say in public, you know, what they would like.
Yeah, no, I think, look, you know, let's not con ourselves. Obviously, the cost of living, immigration numbers, housing, these will be the biggest issues in the election. Mm. But a certain sense that something fundamental about our freedom has been lost, I think, is deep within the people. And it may be that this proves to be not a big, but a slight Achilles for Labour. And it's the kind of thing that reform needs to pick up on in a very big way.
Absolutely. There you go, reform. Nigel, thanks so much for talking to us.
Splendid.
Good to see you back here and safe and sound. And, all the very best to you. And so when are you going to be back on GB News?
Tonight.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I never get a day off.
No.
No, they won't allow that. Absolutely. And they got some great telly yesterday.
Right.
So, and I'm on tonight at 7 o'clock and I've got an interview with the owner of the establishment.
Yeah.
You know, who was a hero.
Oh, fantastic.
Who was a hero for standing up. I've got the barrister who was in court at 2 o'clock this morning in Brussels. So it's all going to be great fun.
Great. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Nigel Farage.